In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. It's great to be with you in our family meeting. We'd like to invite one of the most prominent members of our family to be with us, and that is Mary. We always start off our conversation by invoking Mary, by praying to Mary. Mary has many beautiful titles, among which Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So, let's turn to Mary, who also we invoke in the Hail Holy Queen, as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's say the prayer that Mary loves best, and that prayer is the Hail Mary, as we say. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's now ask our spiritual director to accompany us, to be with us. What an extraordinary blessing it is to have as our spiritual director the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many titles. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is the finger of God. Holy Spirit is our counselor. The Holy Spirit is our consoler. The Holy Spirit also is the sweet guest of our souls. What a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us. He's also our interior master or teacher. St. Paul points out that we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Let's pray the prayer, the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit. And that is, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Justin Martyr, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. Fao Chu, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. We always start off our perseverance family meeting by praying to Mary, praying to the Holy Spirit, praying to the angels, praying to the saints. So we are united in the heavenly family as we start off our conversation. Then to give you encouragement, when they celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, I'll be praying for each and every one of you. The Mass is the greatest of all prayers. Nothing can go beyond the Mass. The Mass is the Opus Dei, the great work of God. So I'll be placing you on the altar, and I'll lift you on high when I lift up the paten and the chalice. And I'll offer three intentions for you. First is that all of us, as we draw closer to the feast day of Pentecost, which is the birthday of the Church, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles in the Cenacle, that all of us, myself included, that we would be more and more open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we would be more docile in our sanctification, and salvation depends a lot upon being open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So may we be docile and humble and receptive to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. My second intention, and I know that this is very at heart, for all of you, I'd like to pray for your families, for your children, that your families and children will be protected from the evil one, and that your family would be a community of love in which God is the very center of your family. When I officiate at weddings, I'll often give a summary of the book of Fulton Sheen to married couples. And the title of that book is It Takes Three to Get Married. The husband, the wife, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the super glue that holds the marriage together. So I'd like to pray for your families and invite you as parents to be, the first teachers of the children. To be the first teachers of the children are the parents. That's your moral obligation, your moral responsibility. And then my third intention, I would like to pray for world peace, and that we would all defend the culture of life. We'd all defend the culture of life. My friends, from the very moment of conception until natural death, human life, which comes from God as its origin, and it ends according to the divine providential will of the Creator. Every life is precious. One soul is worth more than the whole created universe. So let's pray that we would be people of life. Even our founding fathers said that all of us have inalienable rights. And those are what? Of life, liberty, in the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's pray that we would be people of life. Okay, my friends, we're turning a new page in our liturgical year in this sense. Thanks be to God, as Catholics, we have the liturgy, but also we are rich in devotions. We have novenas, we have triduums, we have Marian processions, we have Marian crownings. We have enthronements, we have consecrations. How rich our Catholic faith really is. Let's be thankful for our Catholic faith. But also, certain months highlight certain devotions. March is becoming the month of St. Joseph. Then if we go to the month of November, we pray for the souls in purgatory. May, which we concluded yesterday with the feast day of the Visitation, it's the month of Mary. July is the month in which we honor the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then the 30 days of June, which we start today, is a month in which we honor the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. So I'm going to try to foster this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in this beautiful month of June, in which we'll be celebrating these great feast days. This Sunday, my friends, we'll be celebrating the feast day of Pentecost, which, as you know, is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is also, my friends, it's the birthday of the Church. Also, after we celebrate Pentecost, we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Blessed Trinity. Can you see, after Pentecost, we celebrate two of the major feast days and doctrinal beliefs in the Catholic Church. So Pentecost, the Church is born. Then we celebrate the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. Then the following Sunday, we celebrate Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi, which is we adore the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Then that same week, that Friday, we celebrate the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And of course, this Saturday after that, we celebrate the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that's, you might call it, an eagle's eye panoramic vision of upcoming preview, so to speak. So yesterday we celebrated the beautiful feast day of the Visitation of Mary. I concluded my course on the Acts of the Apostles last night. In my homily in the Church of St. John the Baptist in Baldwin Park, I spoke about the Visitation of Mary, but I spoke about four different visitations. Mary visiting St. Elizabeth and liberating John the Baptist from the stain of original sin by her words and by the silent presence of the Redeemer that she had within her. Then he spoke about the visitation of Mary to Mexico in 1531, Our Lady Guadalupe, which resulted in one of the most massive numbers of conversions in the history of the Church. In a matter of 30 years, 8 million converts in 30 years. Then he spoke about the visitation of Our Lady of Lourdes, In 1858, to Saint Bernadette, 18 apparitions, which Mary supports the church, because Mary said, I am the Immaculate Conception. And that was dogmatically proclaimed 4 years earlier by Pope Pius IX in 1854. So Mary came to affirm the teaching of the church. Then they spoke about the visitation of Mary to Fatima in 1917, six times, to these three children, Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. And she identified herself as Our Lady of the Rosary. In every one of the six apparitions, Mary said to pray the rosary. So tomorrow at the Church of St. Therese in Alhambra at 6 o'clock, I'll be starting a new program. I'll be starting the program of the consecration to Mary through the mysteries of the Rosary and through the seven sorrows of Mary. So if you'd like to join me, it'll be at 6 p.m. and I'll be giving, celebrating the Mass and then giving a presentation, and we can enter into our preparation for consecration to Jesus through Mary in the mysteries of the Rosary. Fine, my friends. Today, the Church celebrates a very important saint in the early Church. The name of the saint, his name is Saint Justin Martyr. We don't have exact dates, but we presume that Saint Justin, who was born around the year 100 in Samaria, and he's going to be dying the year 165. He's known as Saint Justin Martyr because he shed his blood for our faith. What do we know about this man, Saint Justin Martyr? We can learn a lot from him. Saint Justin Martyr was a man who was always searching for the truth. You might call him an intellectual as well as a philosopher. He had this ardent hunger and search for the truth. So, searching for the truth, he traveled to many big cities. We talked and studied with the wise teachers. So one day a stranger told him to read, because he was a voracious reader. He especially liked Plato and he liked Greek philosopher. He was a voracious reader. So someone, the stranger, said, "Well, why don't you read the Old Testament? Why don't you read the Old Testament, especially the prophets, who had foretold the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?" So Justin read through the Old Testament prophets. And the Holy Spirit enlightened him into believing that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of the living God. So he became a Christian. What he did was interesting. He traveled to Rome, the Eternal City, where many Christians were being persecuted and even put to death. And he opened up a school. And the school was a school of Christian philosophy, in which he allowed for public debates. So some people at that time were attacking Christians, what they believed in practice. So what happened? God used Justin because a lot of the Romans, the pagans, were attacking the Christians because the Romans had polytheism. They had various gods. Whereas we are monotheistic. We believe in one God and three persons. So Justin, he defends the Christian faith by debating, but also by writing. They're called the apologies. Apologies means also the defenses of Christianity. And it's interesting that he writes in defense of various things, but especially, it's now around the year 160 AD, he's going to be writing two important treatises. On one is the importance of Christian baptism. And then what he's going to do, he's going to write a marvelous treatise on the Christian Catholic Mass, which is very similar to the way that we celebrate Mass today. He said that the Christians celebrate the Mass on Sundays because that's the day in which our Lord rose from the dead. He says in the Sunday Mass you have readings from the Bible, which we do is called the Liturgy of the Word. He says then there's a homily in which the presider is going to explain the readings for the people. Then even says then there's the offering of bread and wine. So there you have the Liturgy of the Word, and then you have the Liturgy of the Eucharist, which Vatican II will sometimes divide the Mass into two basic parts, the Liturgy of the Word, the reading and the preaching, and the Liturgy of the Eucharist, which would be the offertory, the consecration, and communion. Then he speaks about giving communion to people. So this, my friend, is around the year 160, shortly after our Lord died, right on the heels of the teaching of St. Paul. But then, in around the year 165, Justin was arrested by the Roman prefect because he was a Christian. And they wanted him to deny his faith in Jesus as well as the church. And the judge, whose name was Rusticus, and you can read this if you do the Liturgy of the Hours, he asked Justin, do you have an idea that you will go up to heaven and receive some suitable rewards? And Justin answers, he says, it is not an idea that I have. It is something that I know well and hold to be most certain. Think about that. He's about to be martyred. He's about to be tortured. He's about to be martyred. But one of the things that really supports him is faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But also his firm belief that after suffering and dying for Christ, that he will have an eternal recompense. And that recompense, my friends, is heaven. The end of the Easter season, we celebrate two feast days: the Ascension of our Lord and Pentecost. The Ascension of our Lord, my friends, is related to heaven. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to many, proving that he was not simply a ghost, but he had truly risen from the dead. He would eat in front of them. Then he goes to Mount Olivet, surrounded by his disciples, and then he ascends into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. From thence he'll come to judge the living and the dead. Now, Justin loved Christ, but also he's aware that by his suffering, he was going to go to heaven. My friends, we all are suffering. You're suffering, and so am I. We all have our own sufferings. We all have our own crosses. But we have to have the virtue of hope. Hope is related to trust. And trust is related to a firm belief that at the end of our lives, that's not the last word, but the end of our lives, if we're faithful to Christ, we will be with him, adoring him, worshiping him, loving him in heaven for all eternity. So often, my friends, like St. Justin Martyr, often we should try to do all we possibly can to remember that we have a reward prepared for us, for our faithfulness. And Jesus says it in no uncertain terms. He says to his apostles and to us, I'm going now to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. For not so, I would not tell you. You have a mansion in heaven. And Justin, he didn't have an opinion. He had a firm belief that he had a recompense, and that was heaven. So may that reality of heaven motivate us and spur us on to obey the commandments, to carry our cross, when we fall to get up, to try to grow in our prayer life, to try to grow in our sacramental life, and also to try to spread our faith with others. Spread our faith to others. So, at the end of his life, he says he firmly believes that he will have a recompense. So the judge, Rusticus, ordered him and others to be killed. So he's first scourged, and then Justin was beheaded. So, to conclude, my friends, on the feast day of St. Justin Martyr, God had given Justin many gifts. Justin used his gifts. He used them well. May we recognize the gifts that God has given to us. And not to be lazy. Yes, I spoke about the Blessed Virgin Mary going in haste to Elizabeth shows us that we should not be giving into laziness, physical, mental, or spiritual. Once Justin found the truth, he really lived the truth. May we try to live out our faith, not simply pay lip service, but to live out our faith. So my friends, today is a good day for thinking about our gifts, your gifts, thanking God for them. My friends, never allow a day to go by in which you don't thank God. Thanking God and putting your gifts to good use. So, my friends, we have a new member of our Perseverance family, and his name is Saint Justin Martyr. He is the patron saint of philosophers, but he's also the patron saint of apologists. When I say apologists, I'm not saying I apologize for my Catholic faith. Quite the contrary. An apologist is someone that is ready and willing to defend firmly his beliefs. Some of the great apologists would be Patrick Madrid, Tim Staples, Scott Hahn. These are actually lay Catholics that are very good in defending the Catholic faith by using biblical as well as other arguments to defend the Catholic faith. Let us pray for the grace to be like Justin Martyr, to know our faith, to love our faith, to defend our faith, and to be willing to die for our faith if God so asks us. Saint Justin Martyr, pray for us. So, my friends, we're going to be moving in now to a very touching, a very moving, very emotional reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And we're arriving at the latter part of the apostolic missionary journey of St. Paul. Eventually, St. Paul will be like Justin Martyr. St. Paul, like Justin Martyr, he will be arrested. He'll be placed in prison. And eventually he'll end up in what is called the Mamertine prison in Rome itself. Maybe you saw the movie of St. Paul, where Jim Caviezel acts as St. Luke. Very good movie. Very good movie. And St. Paul will end up, like Justin Martyr, by speaking out, defending his faith. He also, like Justin Martyr, would be beheaded. So St. Paul is moving from one city to the next, and today we meet St. Paul in Ephesus, in a town called Miletus. And Paul is giving his last address, or last homily, his last discourse to these people, and it's very, very moving. I think you read through this, it's a real gold mine of treasures to enrich our spiritual life. So it says he first speaks to the presbyters of Ephesus. Okay, the word presbyter, my friends, it really means elder, it means the priest. He's going to be speaking to the chief shepherds of the flock. And he's going to be giving them excellent advice. Okay, now, this is advice which is very good for me because I'm a Catholic priest. But at the same time, you who are mothers and fathers, and you have your own flock, you have your own sheep, this message can be directed also to you. And he says to the presbyters at the Church of Ephesus, keep watch over yourselves. Keep watch over yourselves. Two ways in which we can do that. Be faithful to your daily examine. Every day go through your day looking at your day with Jesus Christ and Mary next to you. See the film of your day and see where God has been present. But also see where the evil spirit has tried to intervene, to pull you away from Christ. Another way in which you can watch over yourselves is by the practice of frequent confession. Make sure that you go to confession at least once a month. So he first says, before tending the flock, to be watching over our own mind, our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own heart. Then he says, to keep watch over the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers, in which to tend the church of God. So first watch over yourself, then watch over the flock that God has given to you. And for most of you, the flock that God has given to you would be your family and your children. But if you're not watching over yourselves, you'll not be able to watch over your own flock. If you're not sticking close to Christ, the way that I have expressed this by coining a phrase is the following. For us to be good shepherds of our sheep, you're called to be a good shepherd to your sheep, to your flock. We first have to be a good sheep of the good shepherd. We have to be able to pray and live out, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Then St. Paul points out, he says that this flock has been acquired by the blood of Christ. This flock has been acquired by the blood of Christ. My friends, we have to recognize our dignity as well as our children. Our flock has to recognize their dignity. St. Peter, in one of his letters, will go on to say that we have been redeemed not by the blood of lambs or goats or calves or heifer. We have not been bought back by gold or silver. but rather we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. As Pope St. Leo the Great would say in his Christmas homily, Christians recognize your dignity. Now St. Paul he's going to be warning the presbyters of something very serious. He says that I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, and they will not spare the flock. So St. Paul is warning them of a very serious, grave danger, that the wolves will get in there and not to spare the flock. So he's telling these presbyters to watch very, very carefully over the flock that has been entrusted to them by the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say, and from your own group, men will come forward perverting the truth to draw the disciples away after them. So Paul is saying, not simply foreigners who are not Christians, foreigners who have never known the truth, but rather he's saying, even those who were followers of Christ, they will leave the church and they'll try to come in and pervert the truth among the sheep and the flock. How often it's happened that we know, you probably have this experience, that you know someone who is a really good Catholic, received all the sacraments, was reading the Bible, maybe involved in a church group, and then left the Catholic Church and became an enemy to the church. Look at the Protestant reformers. Henry VIII was a Catholic. Martin Luther was a Catholic priest. John Calvin was a Catholic priest. And they became enemies of the Catholic Church. So I'm trying to explain how this biblical passage of St. Paul has been lived out in the history of Christianity. So then he says, so be vigilant, watch over your flock. Then Paul speaks about himself and he says, remember that for 3 years, night and day, I unceasingly admonished each of you with my tears. So it's very interesting that Paul is going from one town to the next, Antioch and other cities, but he's going to be spending 3 long years in Ephesus, which today would be modern Turkey. Miletus would be one of the cities or towns in Ephesus. He spent 3 long years preaching to these people, admonishing them, weeping for them, trying to instill deep Christian truths in their hearts. And now Paul is going to say, and now I commend you to God and to that gracious word of His that can build you up and give you the inheritance among all who are consecrated. So Paul is about to leave them. He's about to leave them. But he says that he's going to be commending them to God. And he's speaking once again of their inheritance. When he says their inheritance is the faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But not only the faith in Jesus, but also the inheritance is heaven. For us, once again, I motivate you. My friends, let's think about our life on earth is short. We are pilgrims. Our life is short. Just on Monday, we had the funeral of Father Antolini. Life is short. He lived to be 91. Many of us may not arrive at 91. Life is short and uncertain. But remember our inheritance. Our inheritance is that God has prepared a place for us in heaven. If we're faithful to the commandments, we carry our cross, we fall and we get up, we strive on a daily basis to love Christ and to put into practice His commandments. And then Paul goes on to point out the good example that he left for them. He goes on to point out that when he was with them, he never cared for their gold or silver or their clothes. Paul was not there for any ulterior motives. He was not there to take their money. He was not there for that purpose. He was there to preach the Word of God, to preach Jesus Christ, to place these people on the highway to heaven. Then Paul goes on to point out, he said, with these very hands, he serves his own needs and his companions. So not only was Paul preaching the Word of God in season and outside of season, not only was Paul preaching powerfully the Word of God, but also Paul was teaching them the importance of hard work. He was teaching the importance of hard work. You probably know that St. Paul was a tent maker, which is hard work. And two of his friends who we met the other day, Priscilla and Aquila, a lay couple that were followers of Christ, they also had the same profession. They were tent makers. So Paul is teaching us the importance to not be freeloaders, to look for freebies, rather the importance of hard work. As the Bible points out to Adam that he will earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. And Paul will say, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, before he went off to preach the Word of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spent 30 years in the private life of Nazareth, and he spent many of those years working as a carpenter, where we have the painting of, or the picture of Saint Joseph working in the carpenter shop with the child Jesus. My friend St. Paul is pointing out to us that work is very important. So not only did Paul preach the Word of God, which was work also, very important work, but Paul would work with his hands. Let's learn this lesson. As I said yesterday, trying to avoid laziness, that we should dedicate ourselves to physical work, mental work, and spiritual work of the heart. The three dimensions of work. It has to be physical labor is good for us. Cultivating our mind, not allow for our mind to grow fallow, which we got intellectual weeds, which crop up, suffocating the word of truth. And our hearts having a real hunger to be able to pray more and to pray better. To pray more and to pray better. And then St. Paul says that we have to work so that we can help the weak. And then St. Paul quotes our Lord a passage that we actually don't find in the Gospel explicitly. Paul says that the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So St. Paul gives this moving discourse to his priests, his friends in Ephesus. And then he kneels down. He kneels down and he prays with them all. What a beautiful passage this is. What a touching passage this is. Here Paul is their pastor. He's been their teacher for 3 years. He's giving them his farewell address. He's giving them excellent advice. He's moved to the very depths of his soul for love of God, but for love of these people. Then he kneels down. He kneels down in the sand because he's on the shore about to embark to another place. He kneels down and he prays for them. And he prays with them. Now the people there, they loved St. Paul so much because they recognized that Paul loved them, that they threw their arms around him, almost suffocating him. Well, they throw their arms around him and they start to kiss him. And the reason being is because Paul had said to them on no unclear terms that they would never see his face again. That they would never see his face again. How much Paul loved his people. What an excellent shepherd Paul was of the flock that was entrusted to his care. And how much these people really loved Paul because they saw the great love that he had for them. Was there weeping and there hugging him, they really don't want him to go, but he's got to move on. How much, like Paul, should we love the flock that has been entrusted to us? By teaching our flock, our children, our family, who God is, how much Christ loves us, how much Christ suffered for us, how much Christ wants us to, like Justin Martyr, like Paul, how much God, Christ wants us to be with him forever in heaven. But how much Christ wants us to, like Justin Martyr and Paul, to use the time, the talents, the treasures that God has bestowed upon us to spread the kingdom. Then the last verse of the Acts of the Apostles today says that they would never see his face again. Then they escorted him to the ship. So Paul says goodbye. He embarks on the ship, heading toward another place, in which Paul felt the real desire to preach the word of God. And Paul knows, and we're going to be seeing this tomorrow and the following days, he knows that tribulation, persecution, incarceration will be the end of his life. And that he will, like Justin Martyr, before Justin Martyr, that he will die by shedding his blood for Christ. Like Justin Martyr, Paul eventually will be thrown in jail in the Mamertine prison, and he'll be beheaded as a Roman citizen. So, my friends, there's just so much that we're learning about in our Perseverance family. Invite other people to come with us. Pray that our family will grow and grow and grow. Invite other people to come with us. And in this month of June, dedicated to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I would like to give all of you my priestly blessing. And you pray for me, and I will pray for you. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.